Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the September 11 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County. And Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Our special guest for the afternoon is Mark Schleusner. He's the Illinois State Statistician from USDA NASS. We'll take up this morning's USDA reports and what will happen in the marketplace going forward on this September 11 edition of Commodity Week. Well, I'd like to start just a little differently this way because we have Mark Schleusner, who is the state statistician with us from USDA NASS for the state of Illinois. Bill Mayer, I think probably I'd like to start with you. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask of Mark about today's USDA numbers?
Yeah, Mark, I guess the one thing that I think was a surprise or somewhat of a surprise for a lot of people was that the Illinois corn yields went up a bushel per acre from the August report. And I guess my question is, did the ear weights enter into that, or could you kind of enlighten us as to whether they had any actual weights that they used as far as the plots go?
From our field counts, we had about 10% of our samples are what we call final. That is, the crop was biologically mature. It's not going to put on any more weight. And those were sent to our lab in St. Louis. About 30% of our field plots were in a dent stage, and those ears of corn will actually put on more weight, but we do harvest some of those, send them to our lab in St. Louis. They adjust to standard moisture content, and they adjust for shelling fraction, and that is one of the ways that we go about getting our corn yields. We've published this month an ear count per acre, which is the highest we've seen. It's over 30,000.
Do you have similar figures for soybeans?
For soybeans, we do have a pod count, and it's more than 2,000. I don't have full history there. Within the last 5 years, it has gotten close to 2,000. And that soybean pod count, it sort of moves around depending on weather, whereas the corn ear count, once it's made, it's made. It might get knocked off because of some sort of a storm, but it's not going to put on more ears. Corn plants don't do that. So we're over 2,000 pods in our field counts, and that is the highest we've seen in the last 5 years.
And compared to the national average, that's substantially higher. I'd made note on this national average that the weight of the pods was very heavy. Was that the case in the state of Illinois, too?
For soybeans, we do not have an early indication of pod weight. We have to rely on some averages, historical averages. We do use a different historical average for wide-row soybeans than narrow-row soybeans. Narrow-row beans tend to produce more pods per acre, but they tend to have smaller beans, smaller pods. So we deal with that with two different ways of looking at soybeans based on their row width.
But is that the case on the national as well? Because that weight was there. Is that just an average?
There's sort of a derived weight in the speaker notes that are put out in the crop report.
Right.
But we are getting, the only way we get an actual field weight is when the soybean plants have reached maturity, and I'm pretty sure there were none or perhaps very few in Illinois. I would doubt there are any in Iowa, Nebraska.
Yeah, but the national, so you'll have to forgive me, but the national weight was the highest, is the heaviest weight you've had since, I got to look at the numbers here, since 2004 is the oldest plotted on the chart.
Okay, and that is a derived value using the yield we publish and using the pod counts that we publish.
Yeah.
It has not been measured from soybean fields to our lab in St. Louis.
Okay, I see. Somebody else had a question for me.
It's a combination of pods and weight is what you're saying in that on that chart that they show.
Correct. That is correct. We publish the fruit count, the ears per acre and the pods per 18 square feet.
Yeah, it's
pods. Yeah, I had a question. I guess how much of Illinois was surveyed? I mean, do you go into the 102 counties that we have? in Illinois, or is it a third of the counties, or two-thirds of the counties, or, I mean, how big an area do you survey in Illinois?
Our goal is to capture the entire state of Illinois. It's not like the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, which sort of does the middle part of the state. We had more than 300 reports from farmers all around the state, and when we asked the farmer yield survey, we asked them for your entire farm, how many acres are you intending to harvest, and what do you think your yield will be? We had more than 300 reports in our September yield survey. Within our field count survey, we start with 280 for corn. We don't quite get them all. I forget the number for soybeans. Let's say 200 or 220. And again, we don't get them all. But those are sampled from all around the state.
Well, okay. You say all around the state. Now, I guess my question is did you get a sample from all 102 counties in Illinois?
No, we did not. We did not get a field sample in every single county in the state of Illinois.
And that wouldn't be unusual.
Okay, how deep is that? I mean, how deep is it? Is it like 60% of the counties that you got a sample from, or 70% of the counties, or half the counties, or... I guess that's my question, is how broad the survey really is in Illinois.
Well, I think I understand the scope of your question, what you're trying to get to. I can't give you, like, a numerical answer. I don't have the numbers in front of me. When we are doing that sampling, it begins from our June area survey, where we're measuring acreage back in June. And when we ask producers about this piece of land, if it's marked as a soybean field, that has the potential to be in our soybean field counts for the yield surveys later on. Same with corn.
All right.
So you don't you don't necessarily weight it either. You know, like Champaign County, McLean County, you know, Macon County, or some of your normal biggest counties in the state as far as production goes. Is your sample weighted then counties?
From our farmer reported yield survey, yes, that is taken into account.
Yeah, probably okay. By crop reporting district, I would think, as opposed to a county, right? Or not?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, great. Any
you have anything in your process for ear tipping back an inch to 2.5 inches, like the heat and stuff did in the last 2 weeks?
Yes, when we're taking our field counts in cornfields, we measure what we call the kernel row length from the bud of the ear up to not the end of the cob, but the end of where the kernels have grown. And so that does account for tip back. The farther up we measure, the longer the kernel row length, typically the greater the ear weight. And we use the last 5 years to work that out. So if the average was, you know, 6.5 inches this year, take a look at all the 6.5-inch ears over the last 5 years, and what was their grain weight, and that's pretty much what you'll get.
Now, but what were the dates of these measurements in the field?
Late
August.
I mean,
I'm talking the last 8 days, people are saying their ears have shrunk 1.5 inches.
Well, and that may be true. Our report is all from conditions as of September 1. Our field counts and our farmer yield surveys were collected in late August and into early September. I would add this, in the last few days, I've had more than 2.5 inches of rain. Now, none of that is in this report. It happened after September 1. There's still a fair amount of green soybean fields around this area near Springfield, Illinois, and I would imagine lots and lots of the double crop beans down south are still green and would have benefited nicely from those showers. But again, that was not part of what we did. We're measuring conditions as of September 1. When we began the month of August, we had 75% adequate soil moisture and 18% surplus. That's as of August 2, more than 93% adequate and surplus. At the end of the month, August 30, 67% adequate topsoil moisture and 6% surplus. We also had cool temperatures not through all of August. That's not fair to say. But there were a couple of weeks of just some beautiful back porch weather. So in general, I would say while there was heat in August, it wasn't the heat stress that can come in an Illinois August. And there was plenty of soil moisture available to the plants.
And finally,
hey, Mark, I've got a question, if you could. I would anticipate in Illinois that we may have a higher percentage of the corn cut as silage this year, and especially in some of those poorer counties. How do you guys pick up on that, or do you pick up on it from the acreage standpoint, the harvested acres? How do you anticipate that?
We don't do a lot of that work here when we're forecasting yields. We set a harvested acres back with our larger acreage survey in June, and we tend to carry that forward because it takes a lot more time and money and reports to estimate acreage rather than yield. Yield is actually easier to do. So we will finalize our harvested acres with our large December survey of acreage yield and production.
Okay.
All right.
When we come to the next report, I'm getting ahead of you. How many different places do you sample with actual weighted yields where you lay them?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Go again. You're talking about preparations for the October crop report?
Yeah, for the October report, how many samples? So did you take, and I don't recall the number, is it about 800 or 850 for this report?
No, more like 400 total sample size for September. August is bigger, and I think that's the number you're remembering, Todd. It's 800 to 1,000 in August. It's 400 sample size, I believe, in September. We got more than 300 completed reports, and it'll be approximately the same size in October. I think we may add a few because we also work on some hay yields then. I would encourage reporters to respond and remind them that every individual report is confidential by law. They are also exempt from the Freedom of Information Act because we are a federal statistical agency.
And just as a reminder, I think you told us this up front, but did you find that the crop was further along this September than it was, for instance, last September, and you were able to get more objective yields this time around?
I don't have those numbers with me, Todd. Sorry, I can't answer that.
All right. Anybody else have a question for Mark before we let him go and we start with the rest of our program? Seen none. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. You can stick around if you want to join in on the rest of the question and answer session here, but I do appreciate you being with us.
Well, Todd, I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you very much to all the producers that helped us with our September crop report. Thank you very much.
Indeed. Mark Schleusner, of course, is the state statistician for the state of Illinois. He is with USDA NASS and based at the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield. You're listening to the Commodity Week program for September the 11th. Our panelists today include Dan Zwicker and Bill Mayer, along with Pete Manhart. Dan, I want you to go through what the charts look like, in your opinion, after we finished up a day where corn rallied more than 12 cents.
Well, from a pure technical point of view, you have to be very impressed by the way corn performed today. We posted an outside up day, sharply higher. I think, punched out the high that we had on August 25th on December corn, which was 86 3/4. And I think today's high was 87. So actually we've basically came back to the price we were before the August crop report. A higher week, a higher day. My technical system did turn in a buy signal. So from a technical point of view, I would have to be friendly to the corn market. That is also the case in wheat. However, soybeans have not, they did squeak out a higher finish here, I guess, on the Novembers, but we're still down for the month. And there's still no buy signal yet on the soybean market. But I would say the way we close today, what technicians will be watching will be see whether or not this market can kind of demonstrate some follow-through activity from today's strong closes, at least given the volatility that we saw around the crop report, and we'll kind of go from there. The thing that I guess I'm watching is that we're 11 days into September, and September is a very dominant month to the downside, and corn is actually unchanged or higher for the month. Beans are down about 10 cents for the month, and I guess that will be something that I'll watch next week, whether or not this market can build on today's positive price action.
Pete, it was pretty clear that you think the condition of the crop, especially for corn maybe, has changed fairly dramatically since September 1, maybe because of, in part, of the heat. Do you have any fundamental news that you've been talking to producers that really tell you that's the case?
Basically, they're telling me that the yields where they have been going. McLean County example today, 50 bushel under last year. They were very happy with the 180 that it made, 200 bushels, and it was already down at 19% moisture.
Right. Yeah, that's the one that surprised me. I know Logan County was 19.5 yesterday. Early corn was, that 105-day corn was, what, 15%. These are really a crop that's really maturing quickly. I suppose it does have some impact, Bill Mayer, on your thought process maybe as to how soon lows will come. When we'll get to the 50% harvest mark, if the crop's really coming that fast, and frankly, what it means for crop insurance in the month of October.
Yeah, I think that's going to be certainly a focus of a lot of the farmers in the areas where the yields are down. I guess one thing I was impressed on the report was the fact that with all the negative feelings we've had here in the last 30 days as far as demand, we actually saw corn demand go up for the 14-15 year, and they dropped the carryout about 40 million bushels, and we saw that carry over, and we're down here now to where I think we still have a lot of concerns as far as, 1.6 billion carryout. There is not, it's certainly adequate, but we all realize, I think, or the market realizes that we don't know yet where this crop's really going to come in from an acres or a yield standpoint in the end. So it's a lot of uncertainty. I guess I think that you could see the early harvest here and how the market reacts to that and some of these yields that Pete are talking about. I think we saw some of that this week as some of that got into the marketplace. How the market reacts to that, I guess I think you could see somewhat of a rally here with the technicals as we close the week, like Dan said, going into the next couple of weeks. And then let's see, how much cash corn gets sold against that. That's going to be the next key.
All right, so we are at now a 1.592 billion bushel carryout for corn. That's down from the August estimate of 1.713. It's down 121 million bushels, Dan. It's a pretty good drop. And the stocks well, go on.
Yeah, it's a drop, but, lowering last year's carryout on both corn and soybeans tells you that USDA missed last year's production. So they still haven't even got that one right. And now here we are trying to figure out what, they're doing for this year's crop. And that's why we probably won't know the size of this crop until we get halfway through it. Maybe the March report will start showing actually what actually was produced. May even have to wait till June. I mean, it started showing up in the bean market that USDA was carrying too high a production on soybeans back on the March report. So, now the thing that I noticed on the balance sheet on corn is, yes, they raised exports to kind of bring down the carryover, and of course the downward adjustment in yield brought it down a little bit. But look at year-to-date export sales for corn. I mean, if we're going to have to really start selling some corn, and that's going to be, I guess, the thing that will probably be more important than anything from a fundamental point of view, is if the market, the way the market performed today, it did not go down, it actually settled higher or steady. Now, will that bring end users off the bench to start booking some inventory? Because I'm sure the end users were waiting for lower prices, and today's price action would suggest that that may not be the case as we go down the road, and then we can maybe start. But today's export sales for corn were terrible. Beans was halfway good, but we still got a long ways to go to even get close to last year's pace.
I'm wondering, are you neutral on this corn market at the point, Dan?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I would have to say, well, one day doesn't make a market trend. But the way the market performed today with a crop report, even though USDA did bring it down some, the trade was looking for it to be a little smaller. I think that tells you that very little end-user coverage is on the books, and I think the end-user may have to come in here and support this market for a while, and then we'll see what the technicians do with the funds. The funds are still long this corn, and I would think that they're going to get longer based upon the price action and some of these technical buy signals that were hit here today. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing performs over the next couple of weeks. But like I said, September is a real hard month to go up in, but maybe this is the year that we do it, and that will be a key here.
I still think that the numbers we're hearing being harvested or talked about are starting to ooze into the market, whereas the yields just aren't there as far as what people thought it would do. The top is off from clear last June from too much moisture, and that we have an awful lot of yield to go, a lot of progress for harvest to go before we really know how big or small this crop size is. And from the people we talk to in Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, the crop is not near as big as they're expecting. The guys I have in Iowa and Minnesota are talking about average to 10 bushel above average. The guys in Illinois are talking literally 40 to 80 bushel under last year's yields on corn that they're harvesting.
Do you think, Bill, that the change in yields in the western Corn Belt as opposed to the eastern Corn Belt, where they dropped the corn yields, really will be the defining moment for this crop as to whether it gets bigger or smaller from this point going forward?
Yeah, and I think I've kind of been saying that for a while, Todd, that I think that may be where we see the change. And I say that because if you look at last year, as Pete's been talking about, where we had some awfully big yield projections going into the fall and then found out that we had not quite as big a bushels, I think, you know, we could be in that same situation again this year. But from, you know, getting to a marketing standpoint, I think, you know, a farmer needs to be ready to react. And I'm not saying that you have to do anything right now, but this producers have to realize that the times have changed from a few years ago. And there was a period where we could go through and we'd have opportunities to make good profitable level sales. And if we missed it, we had another opportunity a couple weeks later. I think those days are probably gone for a while. And we're looking at more what we've had throughout history, where you have very few opportunities to get good profitable levels made, and you have to be ready to act on those chances when you get them. You know, the perfect example is the June rally that we had there. You know, it was a fairly short-lived situation, and I think that we will tend to see that more often, where you see these spikes up, get a chance to make some sales, but it's not a long-lasting situation. And you just, you know, need to be ready to act. And as we're going into harvest, that's especially important because you don't have the flexibility to, if you're taking commercial grain in, you know, you have a deadline that you have to either make a decision to pay storage or make a decision to sell.
Yeah, so you have to be ready to act, and I suppose we're back to those times like the early 2000s, at least in the way you have to help your clients, Pete, deal with the marketplace?
Yeah, I think you look at some of the singles that are in the marketplace, some of the situations where you get into an overbought situation or, you know, that type of thing, and be ready to spread the sales out and not necessarily, you know, it's don't need to go in full full bore, but you do have to be ready to make the sales whenever you have the chance, so that you'll get forced into making them when you don't want to make them.
One thing that I want to add that goes along with Bill's comments is the demand market of 2007 to 2012 is over with. And when you take out that period and you take out the demand period of the 70s, ag markets or commodity markets are all supply driven. So even though USDA maybe bumped up the demand factors in today's balance sheets, that doesn't necessarily mean the market's going to go higher. I think if the market is going to go substantially higher, it's going to have to come from a supply deterioration somewhere around the world, which next up is South America. Now, South America would get into some production problems. Well, then the commodity markets will have a reason to go up. But I don't see the commodity markets being driven by demand. And actually, at the moment, we're on the short side of the demand equation because Brazil has devalued the real to the point where their commodity is more attractive than our commodity to the world buyer. And, you know, like I mentioned on Thursday's program, is that we are in a trade war. I mean, all the farm organizations can tout all about these trade agreements that they have touted about for years, but a trade agreement doesn't do you any good if you're in a currency war, which is basically another way of saying you're in a trade war, and that is basically where we're at in agriculture. And if the dollar was weaker here today, which probably helped out the rally, but if the Fed does start down the path of slowly raising interest rates, that is going to hold the dollar much stronger against these other foreign countries, and that's just going to keep us all the more at a disadvantage to selling commodities into the world market.
Hey, Pete, is corn priced too low for a 1.6 billion bushel carryout next year?
I don't think so. I think, you know, the 1.6, 1.5, if it goes much lower, where are we going? If it goes higher, hey, we got plenty at that number. It's just, where are we going to go? And I think the question I keep bringing up and I keep harping on is the size of the crop that we're hearing from customers in Indiana, in Illinois, in Iowa, in Minnesota is not the same size that we're hearing from USDA. We're hearing a smaller size crop. If you have a smaller size crop, that 1.6 goes lower.
Yeah, so it. But did you hear this size crop on September 1, and has it shrunk since then? Because of course,
I think
US,
it has shrunk since September 1. Yes,
right.
Oh, at today's number, if I've been saying all along, I think the 1.2 to 1.3 billion area is where you really start to get the market nervous, and you know we're about 5 bushel per acre, 4.9 bushel per acre from that level now at the 1.592. So, you know, will it shrink that much? I kind of doubt it myself, but I think there are some acreage adjustments, as I mentioned to Mark there, that could come into play eventually.
That's the other thing. When are acreage adjustments made? You know, some people were expecting a little bit today. We got really virtually none. When do they make, or if they make them, when are acreage adjustments made?
You're up, Mark.
Generally in September, we don't do acreage adjustments because it takes a larger sample to measure acreage. We will move our planted acres and therefore harvested acres in the October report. By then, the Farm Service Agency has done their tabulations of all the planted acres, and we rely very heavily on that. So on October, we will be adjusting planted acres, sometimes up, sometimes down, depending on what we see in the Farm Service Agency data. And then typically if you move the planted acres, you're going to move the harvested acres around too. So October is the month for acres changes, not September.
Actually, October is a really big month, I think, because the grain stocks report comes out at the end of the month, the final one for the year. Not only do you adjust acreage, but you have the ability to tally, I think, pretty close the soybeans. And if you make any changes to the final number for soybeans, it's been happening in October. Am I right about that?
It's either October, or I think it's actually the quarterly stocks report that comes out September 30. And by then, we've got, you know, a year worth of processing of soybeans, of crush and export that can be measured very precisely. And then we use that information to true up our previous year, 2014, soybean production numbers.
And, but, yeah, the bean number is coming down. We know that, USA, now the corn number, they'll probably leave it alone because they can hide it in residual, which is unexplained disappearance. But the corn number is probably too high, too, but it'll be hit in feed and residual.
That
they won't
like...
change the corn yield.
All right. How about a final thought from each of you? I'll start with you, Dan Zwicker.
Well, I don't really know what to say other than this report, I think, or the way the market has performed, does open the door here for a September rally. And that might be something everybody's going to have to take a good look at, because I think as harvest goes on down the road, we may then begin to get in some downward pressure. And the reason I say that is very rarely does a market perform the same way 2 years in a row. And last year we had a strong rally from October to Christmas for the first of the year. I question whether or not we can do that this year. So I would be more inclined to take advantage of an early September, October type rally rather than the whole holding off until Christmas.
Bill Mayer?
You mentioned, Todd, this crop insurance. I just want to reiterate, for those farmers that have the RP or revenue-type coverage, October is the month that they get that fall average price. If you're sitting here with poor yields, as Pete had mentioned, a lot of people are, you kind of still have that put underneath the market here because of that crop insurance month that's going to get averaged in. And once we get past that October averaging, then you kind of lose that put option. So keep that in mind in your marketing program and make adjustments once you kind of see where that October average is going to come in at.
And Pete Manhart.
Be ready to take advantage of bounces anytime, anywhere to catch up on any marketing that you need to do.
And finally, do you have a final thought for us as well, Mark Schleusner?
I guess I've got two. Number one is that we will repeat our process for the October crop report. We'll be going back to the same fields and also asking the same producers about their yields. By then, many of them will have run the combine, and that creates a new calibration, a new adjustment. Also, I did check our September 30 report, quarterly grain stocks report, would have revised soybean information from the previous year if there was a revision.
Mark Schleusner is the state statistician with USDA NAS for the state of Illinois. We were joined also on this September 11 edition of Commodity Week by Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.